been one inside the fence.
But what about the electricity?
Yes, JB thought. What about that? Off to the left stood a big wooden barn that was probably used for storage of either food or equipment, or both. Smaller sheds stood to the north side of the barn, and it was possible that the farm's arms and munitions were kept there. But connected to the shed were several thick cables that were strung over the fence and continued toward the west, before turning south toward the falls.
Electricity might not be as big a problem as we thought.
Make yourself comfortable.
A bit of a feral smile formed on Baron Fox's face. He had changed out of his boots and into his slippers, but as always, he was still wearing his brightly colored silk bathrobe. Christie was glad to sit down on the couch in the Baron's office, having gotten little rest before being taken from the hotel in the middle of the night.
Can I get you something to eat or drink?
Christie thought of the fruits that had made them all sleepy and careless. She could only imagine what might happen to her if she got drowsy now.
No, thanks.
In addition to the Baron, several men were inside the room. Most noticeable was a man with a book under his arm, standing just inside the door, like a piece of furniture. He said nothing, hadn't even moved, and Christie thought there was something dangerous about how quiet he was. He looked to be thinking all the time, and what was going on in the room at that moment didn't require all that much thought. All the sec men seemed giddy as prepubescent teens. They were dangerous too, but in a way that was different from the man with the book under his arm. The sec man would chill you at any moment. The other would chill only when the time was right. The Baron gestured with a wave, and all of the men in the office exited. Obviously, this was a sign that the Baron wanted to be alone with this new prize. Christie tensed herself for what was to come next.
You're rather beautiful. Did you know that?
I've been told once or twice.
Unzip your jumpsuit.
Go to hell.
The Baron smiled.
All the breeders who come to Fox Farm are like you at first. They resist, or they have crazy notions about love. But I assure you, I can be very persuasive.
I'm sure you can.
You see, your options right now are very limited. You can make it easy on yourself and rut with me willingly, or I'll have you chained to a wall and force you to breed.
Christie said nothing. The Baron walked over to the door and knocked on it three times. A moment later, the door opened, and the man with the ledger under his arm reappeared, followed this time by three sec men. The sec men surrounded her and leveled their blasters at her head.
Now, unzip your jumpsuit to your waist.
Christie slowly complied, taking her time to give herself the chance to think. Mildred had once told her about a pre-dark defense tactic for women in this situation, suggesting a woman should cooperate with a man until she found a safe way out of her predicament. And if she never found a way out, then she should keep cooperating, because that way at least the man might not chill her, which was something he was sure to do if you resisted. It seemed like triple stoop advice, but Christie wasn't sure what else she could do at the moment. Of course, she could always call on the power of Gaia, the Earth Mother, if she needed to. Although it would leave her weak and vulnerable afterward, it wouldn't be so bad if she was able to chill the Baron and a few of his sec men along the way. She decided she'd keep Gaia as a last resort, calling upon her if and when Mildred's pre-dark strategy didn't work out. She did as she was told.
Excellent. Now, take it off.
Christie hesitated for a second, but then did as she was told, slipping her arms out of the jumpsuit so that the top part of it fell around her waist and left her upper body exposed. It was possible that the man didn't want to do anything other than look.
All of it. And the undergarments. A natural redhead, I see. You are now my prize breeder. Your offspring will bring top jack for years to come. Congratulations.
Christie was about to tell the Baron what he could do to himself, but decided it might be wiser to hold her tongue for just a little while longer.
Please sit down.
Christie sat again, crossing her legs and folding her arms across her chest. She wondered if men like this Baron had made up those pre-dark instructions Mildred had told her about. She didn't seem to be any closer to finding a way out of this situation. She readied herself to call upon the power of Gaia.
Believe me, my dear, You will learn to love living here. Women like you from pre-dark times, with their perfect bodies and pure sexual energy, were prized commodities. The great man himself made it his earthly goal to possess such beauty as what I see before me. But don't take my word for it. See for yourself.
For her part, Christy had no idea what the Baron was rambling on about. What great man was he talking about? As she pondered her predicament, Baron Fox went over to where his stack of mags lay and took the top issue, the one he had been looking at before. He opened the mag to the page he had bookmarked and gave it to Christy. She saw the photographs of the red-haired woman and the man in suggestive poses and immediately realized just what the Baron was getting at.
Yes, you will have the privilege of reenacting these scenes from the great man's mag. You would have the distinct honor of pleasuring both yourself and me at the same time, before you begin your new life as a breeder for Fox Farm. All praise the great man.
If there were any doubts in Christie's mind as to this Baron's lack of sanity, they were easily put to rest now.
If you think that either I or any of my friends are going to give you any kind of pleasure, guess again. Unless your definition of pleasure involves intense pain, preferably to your groin area after I shoot your balls off.
The sec men quickly trained their weapons on Christy upon her making this disrespectful comment, but Baron Fox was totally unfazed by her threat.
If I were you, I wouldn't worry about anything happening to me. But I wouldn't want you to be scarred, my pretty one. I know an East Coast breeder who is partial to redheads, and I doubt he'd pay much jack for, damaged goods.
In disgust, Christy began putting her clothes back on. The sec man looked to the Baron for orders to stop her, but Fox simply rolled his eyes and shook his head.
I'm giving you a chance to experience real sexual pleasure before having to breed for the good of the vill. But I can just as easily take back my generous gift. However, be assured of this. You will give me offspring. Bauer?
The man with the book suddenly spoke up.
Who do you wish her to rut with, my Baron?
Oh, I imagine there will be many who'll want her. But only the strongest man on the farm would be worthy of her. So, we'll have a gladiatorial-type contest for her. Men battling each other to the death for the privilege of rutting with this vision of beauty.
The Baron looked out the window at his orchards.
Yes, men brutally chilling each other, spilling blood, guts, and gore, all for the right to mate and make new life with this woman.
Christy, of course, wanted no part of the Baron's mad plan, but as long as she didn't overtly resist, she'd be safe and able to try to get in touch with Ryan and Mildred so they could begin to figure out an escape plan. The Baron turned to one of the sec men in the room.
Take her to one of the private lounges and make sure she's comfortable. I want her to look good for the combatants.
The sec man nodded and led Christy to the door. The Baron turned to the man with the book and took his riding crop from the pocket of his bathrobe. He whipped it against his hand.
Bauer, send me a breeder. And make her red-haired if we have one.
Yes, Baron. Right away.
Doc had been right about the muties. When the four friends were done making their wreck of the area from the observation level of the tower, they found most of the fruit gone from the stairs, and the three muties fast asleep on one of the landings. Curiously, one of the muties had several pieces of fruit untouched in front of it, but was just as dead to the world as the others.
So you see, John Barrymore, it wasn't your fault that you fell asleep. Obviously, these fruits had some strange properties. Perhaps just touching some of them could cause unconsciousness, as it seems to have done to this pathetic fellow.
J.B. nodded, feeling a little better, but only a little. So here was a possible reason why he'd fallen asleep when he was supposed to be standing guard. To him, though, it was still a flimsy excuse. Creeping past the sleeping muties, they made it down from the tower without further incident, and began the journey northwest toward the farm. When they reached the outer edges of the vill, where the ruins of the old city ended and the ruins of the old farms began, they decided to take a short break to eat what little supplies they had with them. Doc was still carrying the bag of fruit, but none in the group were hungry enough to eat any and risk suffering possible ill effects. Instead, they made do with a few pieces of jerked beef J.B. had with him and a bag of nuts Jack had squirreled away in one of the pockets of his jacket.
Hey, Jack, any more peanuts in the bag?
Ate them.
All four of the friends had their blasters drawn a second later and were searching the nearby tangles of weeds for a sign of what was there. They could see nothing until...